Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
Today we have great privilege of hosting our friends from Food for the Hungry Canada. We'll be hearing stories from friends. Some of us have been to Ethiopia over the last 20 years with Food for the Hungry, and I'm thinking today as they come to us, it's easy to hear, have folks come with a partner agency and feel like, huh, it's like Report Sunday. But it's not Report Sunday. We're hearing from friends. Today, on another note, some other friends, Brent and Shelley Weeks, where are you? Brent and Shelley Weeks are our friends. We love these guys. They're a part of our church family. They serve in Australia with Reach Beyond. We pray for them often. Every 6 weeks, your names get named right here. And as a whole body, we lift you up and your kids and your son's journey. And yeah, so much. Pray for health for you guys. And it's an honor to have you just in the room today. We know this isn't like a special event for us with you. You're here for other reasons, but we're glad to have you guys. And with that, our focus today is on our partnership with Food for the Hungry. And the text that I have in mind that just kind of frames a moment like this is in the New Testament letters, you always have, these letters are written between people who know and love each other. And so in the midst of the letters, like Colossians, Paul in the midst of a letter to the people in Colossae says, Colossians 4, verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all the news. Tychicus is the one bringing this letter from Paul to the Christians in Colossae. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And I can remember being in Sasiga with our friends in 2019 and being nearby in Nekempt on our final night, gathering with the leaders from our trip. The leaders with Food for the Hungry and the Project on the Ground and our team that went together and sharing about this text together in our final dinner around a fire and how we were coming to them as Tychicus with word from the land of Vancouver Island and the brothers and sisters at Lambrick Park Church and on behalf of our communities, you know, bringing blessing. And today you come to tell stories from both your work as leaders and the conduit of this relationship and our shepherds in this relationship, but also you come with words on behalf of other friends, and it's a privilege to have you with us. So Patty Lee, I'm gonna have you come up and just introduce what we're gonna hear first, and then Patty Lee is gonna actually share it with us, and I'll explain why I have this thing afterwards.
Yeah, hi, thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you.
I'm gonna introduce myself.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then what are we hearing?
Okay. I'm Patty Lee, and I lead the International Programs team at Food for the Hungry Canada. I've been there about six years now. And we're going to start out with some videos from staff at Food for the Hungry Ethiopia, just talking about you, what's happened in Sasiga, just a couple short clips, and then after that I'm going to share some more. So yeah, let's go ahead with those videos.
Hello, dear friends from Lambrick Park Church. I'm pleased to talk to you virtually today. I'm in Burundi. However, I always, you know, remember from the bottom of my heart for the partnership we had since early 2000. And I joined FH in 2006, just a few years after the partnership Lambrick Park Church started with FH Canada to the communities in Lowland Sasiga, and then graduated after remarkable accomplishments, and then moved to Mid-Highland Sasiga communities for 10 years, and you have been there during the graduation. The likes of Pastor Scott, Jeff, Rosemary, Brenda, Simon, all of you whom I didn't mention your name, you are always in our heart in Ethiopia and elsewhere. And that partnership has brought a lot of changes in the lives of the people wherever you have partnered with. So thank you, and this journey is not the end of your ministry, I know, but it is a beginning of another journey in the kingdom of God. I really hold this in my heart, and I would like to say thank you, and God bless you in your ministries. Amen.
Dear Lambrick Park Church team, it's a big privilege and honor for me just to extend my message for our long-term partnership we had in the past with FH Ethiopia and Sasiga community in particular. Our long-term partnership was transformed the lives of Sasiga community holistically to address the systemic root causes of poverty in the area of food security and livelihood, in the area of water and sanitation, in the area of education and women's empowerment, in the area of girls' education, in the area of health and nutrition, as well as water and sanitation. Besides, in certain circumstances, you address the area of disaster risk reduction. Just to mention some of your contribution for the past two decades, we are able, through our partnership, to construct more than 40 wells in Sasiga community, in school, and inside the community. Then, among the top waterborne diseases, was affecting the community in the past, but through our long-term partnership, we are able to make this disease out of top five diseases. In addition to that, just women and children are able to be empowered through your partnership. And we are also able to address the issue of both natural and man-made conflicts through your partnership. Your partnership means a lot to the Sasiga community. You address the issue of the community holistically. You transform their life holistically. Let God bless you abundantly, starting from the senior pastor Scott to the whole congregation, for your contribution to the Sasiga community. Our God is a God of kindness, a God of blessing, and you do the same for the Sasiga community. Let God continue to bless you. Amen.
Ms. Aganatayu, I'm sending my warm greetings and extending my appreciation for the Lambrick Park Church. Your support has been, so huge. The community in Sasiga were impacted because of the support and commitment of the church. To mention some of the impacts, children have got access for education, and some of them are in higher education right now. In terms of health service, the health condition of children in the community was also improved because of the various trainings provided, provision of potable water, creating access for hygiene and sanitation. All these have really supported the community and changed their life, especially when it comes to the livelihood opportunities. Although Sasiga is known for coffee growing, the way how they grow was a traditional way, but because of the support through your church, now they are engaged in growing improved coffee seed, which has boosted the production and also improved their livelihood condition. Especially one of the impact is also training given to the church leaders, which allows some in the church now to promote the diaconia service, where the church members are engaged in supporting widows, orphans, and elderly. What makes Lambrick Church special is your love, your deep love, the connection, the visits that was made by the team. You know, I can't remain quiet without mentioning people like Jeff and Rosemary, who have been there several times hosting guests going by themselves. I do remember they were there for five times, I would say. So their love is unforgettable. Just before I conclude my gratitude, I would like to bless the church with the scripture from the Bible on Hebrews 6:10. As you know, it says God is not unjust that he will forget the love and the work you have done for him through supporting, through caring people in need, and as you continue also to support the community. May God bless you. God is a rewarding God. He will reward you. I trust the Lord will reward, the Lambrecht Church. May God bless Lambrecht Church leaders, all congregation members, as well as the generation to come. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you.
Hello, dear friends from Lambrecht.
Yeah, I love that video, those series of videos so much. Those individuals, we didn't have their names up there. The first one is Daniel Ashanafi. All three of them have been here and visited, so some of you may have met them in person. Daniel Ashanafi was the deputy country director in Ethiopia. He's currently the country director in Burundi, and so that's where we were recently in Burundi and filmed that video. After that was Samson Kacha, who was the program manager. Samson Kacha has now immigrated to the U.S., and at Segenet, at Segenet was the National Development Program Director. So she was the director in the whole country for all of the programs that were like this one. And the three of them have moved on to, in Daniel's case, another role. At Segenet and Samson are no longer with FH, but this is how much they care about the partnership with you and how much it resonated with them and stuck with them that they said, we want to be able to send this video. We want to send this message. We've got other jobs. We're doing other things. But this is important to us. We've seen what you've done. So I just love that they shared that. And I'm going to just go through a little bit of what's been done. They mentioned some things, so I'm just going to talk through a little bit. Actually, let's skip to the next slide where we talk about the program. So it's interesting, Scott talked about standing around the fire. We did that in Ethiopia as well last January, and maybe Musu talked about that the last time she was here. We were there celebrating the graduation for the Mid-Highlands. But FH, supported by Lambrecht Park Church, spent 10 years in the lowlands of Sasiga and then another 10 years in the Mid-Highlands. It's 20 years. That's a real investment. Those are staff who remember you as individuals, remember you coming to visit, and just that's a long, really long-term partnership. We don't often see that, and it's really exciting for me. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the things that have been done. I mentioned earlier that I'm the head of the international programs team. I've been doing programs work pretty much my whole career. I actually grew up as a missionary kid in Kenya, so I have a lot of experience seeing these types of projects. And when I joined FH 6 years ago, unfortunately, I couldn't get out to Ethiopia because of the various security challenges and so on. But I really built a relationship with those staff virtually. I read those reports, and it was just so exciting to me. I could consistently see their dedication and see what was happening in the community, even from afar. And so it was great to go there in January last year and kind of see that celebrated. So on the next slide, I've just kind of split this out by different sectors. So starting with education, in these Sasiga communities, so much has been done. We have built new classrooms, so many children don't have to walk as far anymore to get to school. They have less crowding in those classrooms, just a better environment to learn. Many of them have received school supplies. As a result of all of this, enrollment increased, preschools were built. One of the things that FH has really invested in is teaching parents to connect with their children's learning, helping parents, even parents who are illiterate, if they help their kids at home, it makes a difference. And many of these parents think, I can't read myself, so there's you know, that's for them, that's at school. But no, the truth is that if the parents ask the kids questions about what they're learning, even let their kids read books to them, it makes a huge difference in a kid's learning. Sending your kid to preschool also helps them be ready for school. On-time enrollment helps them do better long-term in school. And we really saw that that investment paid off and that kids were doing better in school, were staying in school longer, and parents were more invested. So that was really exciting to see. Samson also briefly mentioned wells in schools, so there's also clean water in those schools. That's exciting. So yes, in the health and nutrition sector, clean water is really the biggest thing. So much water has been put in through wells, or maybe sometimes there are these open springs that people are collecting water from, but because it's open, it's not safe water. And so FH comes in and protects it, and that allows the water to stay clean. As a result, more people were able to, they don't have to walk as far. And that's especially a burden on women and girls. That's their job to go and get the water. And there are a lot of safety risks for them when they have to walk those long distances. So to have that water closer to them, have the water be cleaner. Samson also talked about how that reduces disease burden for these families. You know, diarrhea is a very simple thing that can be prevented pretty easily if you have clean water. And it can also be treated, but these families don't have that. So sometimes these very basic diseases really impact child mortality, especially for children under 5. And that's what we've been trying to address. And that clean water really makes a huge difference. It reduces waterborne diseases, and again, makes it safer for those who have to go and collect the water. We also did a lot around nutrition knowledge, helping mothers understand how to, you know, what healthy nutrition is for their children, talking about breastfeeding and when you introduce solid foods and all kinds of things like that. The first 5 years of a child's life are really critical when it comes to health. The children are vulnerable at that age. And so addressing these things and helping parents, mothers and fathers do this with their families makes a difference in the community. And so that's some of what was done as well. And that includes teaching people to grow vegetables, kitchen gardens, where they can have healthy vegetables. They don't have to go out and buy those vegetables. And then finally, latrines. So much work was done in Sasiga to help families understand the importance of having your own latrine, not just going out into the bush to go to the bathroom. And then once families understood that, there was a program where we would give them, if they dug the pit, we would give them a concrete slab so that they had a nice and safe latrine to protect them and their family. And thousands of those were passed out. So that also made a huge difference in that, in this community. Thousands of people with clean water. We've got a bit of a stat there. Okay, and the next, we've got livelihoods, which includes food security and just making sure that people have enough to eat, making sure that they have income. It's important to understand that all of these things are connected. When a family doesn't have enough economically, they end up keeping their kids home from school, maybe because of illness, maybe the kid has to work. And so all of this is connected. We have done so much around farmer training, especially in conservation agriculture, which is a way of really restoring soil back to its healthy state, and ensuring that the good minerals and so on that are in the soil don't run off. All of that improves production. It means that farmers get more out of what they grow. That's more for their family, more that they can sell, and we've seen it make a huge difference. We've given people seedlings, trees. There's an issue of deforestation around there because of making charcoal. So growing more trees, protecting the soil, and helping people who are farmers really have a healthy and reliable income. So they don't wait season to season. They don't know what might happen. We have also distributed thousands of animals. And one of the really cool things about how this works is that you'll give a cow or a goat to a particular family, and that goat's first offspring, they give that to the next family. And then the next family, the first offspring goes to another family. And so FH gives out a large number of goats, but it turns into many goats for the entire community, and that also makes a huge difference for them. It's a coffee-growing area. Actually, I just remembered, last time I was there, they gave me green beans, and I could have brought some of those. I think I might still have them somewhere. They grow a ton of coffee. We help them improve how they're growing their coffee, and all of this just improves incomes for families. Finally, in the leadership sector, we do a lot to promote formal and informal leaders, and really training them on what they can do in their communities, what healthy leadership looks like. And just a quick story about this woman here. She's a widow, and after FH did training for faith leaders about caring for your own community, the church, one particular church, was like, oh, we're going to go out and help people in our neighborhood. They identified a number of women, including this widow, who didn't really have a safe home, and they built that house for her. And so those are the kinds of things that they're doing. When they hear this information, then they go, okay, we can do something in our community too. And that's what makes the program sustainable. That's what carries on, is by the work that you have invested in continues by helping those leaders take that work and keep going with it even after we're gone. So that's really exciting. Related to leadership, there is one more quick slide, just that there's also emergency response, and we saw that faith leaders, community leaders, but also FH, also Lambrick Park, invested when there was conflict and helped to distribute items to displaced people in the community. So that's all part of caring for the community, and it's really exciting. And I think that's actually my last slide. Let's just see if there's one more. That's the end? Okay, that's it. And I'm going to hand it over to Scott now. As I do, I'm going to give, we have a certificate from FH, certificate of appreciation for over 20 years of partnership that I'm going to give to you, Scott. And also, there are a number of us, it was mentioned earlier, happy to answer any questions about any of this, but it's just been a real honor to partner with you in these 20 plus years. Amazing.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Simon, come on and join me. Thank you so much. I obviously some of us have been on the ground, and these names are like our friends, and I feel so moved just hearing you describe every piece of that. But like at the very end, you just referenced displaced peoples, and I just want to give context for anybody that's no idea, or this feels just really like granular. Growing up, for some of us in the 80s, the face of famine in Africa was Ethiopia. It was a child with a distended stomach. Is that the right way to say it? Distended? And we live in such a different part of the world, and so many of us, not everyone, just never have to ask certain questions about whether there will be food in the fridge or options. And in the face of distance and all of that, you know, there's opportunities to give, and your heart wants to respond, but also you never know what that looks like. And these communities in Western Ethiopia, these are displaced peoples who a couple decades ago, during a time of conflict in the north, were put on buses and driven to another part of their country and dropped off in land that they did not know how to work, with no resources, just placed. And they had to figure out how to do life and how to feed their families and who would live by what tree and over what hill and make a life. And FH exists to not just like throw money, but to come and walk in and build relationships with the people and together discern a path, an empowering path, where not just foreigners come and do things for, but maybe foreigners come and stand alongside and help them discover what their path forward is. And then with their own leaders, gifted leaders, those leaders who we saw on those screens, those are people with master's degrees, incredible capacities, leading the work on the ground, and families who are illiterate, moms and dads who are now seeing their own kids be educated, and in the process teaching them how to read. And it's amazing. It's amazing. So we just want to share a bunch of stories in the next few minutes. And I want to start this with, so we've asked a number of our friends who've been a part of these trips to submit a brief story, a memory. And we're going to have some slides that convey some of this. Oh, there's Jeff. That's awesome. Simon and I are going to share some of the stories. Simon Goff. Simon has led our missional engagement team for many years, probably almost the whole extent of this journey, 20 years. You've been here through this? Yeah. So he knows it far more than me. And wanted to share some stories from some of our folks here. When we say your name, could we ask you just to stand for a moment so we can look over and cheer for you, and then we'll tell your story. And it's going to start with Jeff and Rosemary Gond. You've already been named today. Can you stand briefly? Yeah. Thank you, friends. Okay, so before I read the first piece that you have, I'm coming to present to you this blanket. And this is from our friends in Sasiga. This is an Oromo blanket at the graduation last year that we were not able to be here for. They gifted this to our community, and we want to give it to you. So I have one story from them. Simon will share that, but just a brief reflection first. Bello, that we were in the lowlands and the mid-highlands of Sasiga. In the early days, the region was also called Bello. So Bello, Sasiga, this is their words, Ethiopia, was an unexpected privilege in our lives. We got to go. Before we went the first time, 2005, we looked at a map of Ethiopia. We could see Addis Ababa. Were we traveling north, south, east, west from the country's capital? We didn't know, but we went five times. Five of us went to an unknown place that first time with unknown people, except for us, of course, we knew each other. After the first time in 2005, we were unstoppable. Rosemary says, Jeff and I went five times. Was it easy? No, it was never easy. We had to take ourselves with us, and that always is complicated. Was it one of the most memorable experiences of our lives? Yes. Are we sad to see this chapter end? Oh, so sad. But as we heard in our first association with the Food for the Hungry, it was never about our wants or decisions. It was about the partnership between FH Canada, FH Ethiopia, and the various levels of government leaders in Ethiopia. So it was well-researched, God-inspired directives on the part of the partners. And our job was to listen and participate, as we were told, to always with input from us if we so wished. Today is with sorrow that we bid adieu to Sasiga and Lekka Delecha, and welcome the new directions from FH. As I, Rosemary speaking, said to Simon, if it wasn't good, we wouldn't grieve, saying farewell to our friends and their lives in Sasiga, but it was good. It was good. And so we grieve. Simon.
They also write. They've got many, many stories, so catch them afterwards. The second time we went to Sasiga, 2007, we were gathered in a classroom in a village. There were nine of us from the West, four from Lambrick, and five from other parts of Western Canada. The room was full of about 30 of our Ethiopian friends who had come to see us, hear us, and tell us where they were in the development of their community. A couple of the leaders came through the door carrying two six-packs of soft drinks. So there were like 12 bottles of pop. As everyone was getting settled, the leaders placed the soft drinks in front of each of us, asking us to choose which drink we would prefer. So we did. These were our hosts, and we wanted to honor their generosity. I think there was Orange Crush, 7-Up, and Pepsi. After each of us accepted a bottle of pop, there were only three bottles left. I didn't see what was happening at first, and then I recognized it as one of the bottles was being passed around the classroom. Each of our Ethiopian friends, members of the Sasiga community, took a swig out of the bottle and passed it on to the next person. When that bottle was finished, the next bottle of pop was started and was passed around similarly. As each person received the bottle, they took a swig until the bottle was finished, and then the third bottle was passed around until everybody had had a drink. Miraculously, there was a gulp for everybody in the room. And we drank our full bottle of pop all to ourselves, feeling a little chagrined by what we had just seen, but realizing that they were being good hosts, and it was our privilege to be grateful recipients. We managed our astonishment. And right now, Jeff, Rosemary, are controlling their tears as they remember with gratitude the many, many lessons that they learned during our trips to Ethiopia.
For me, I'll never forget visiting the home of a family where the father proudly walked us to his family's new latrine that FH and Lambrick together had provided. And he took time with great pride to show us his own hand-washing station, a thing that he had dreamed up and made. He was bursting with pride as he demonstrated how easily his family could practice good hygiene after using their own facilities. In a community that often struggled with illness due to poor hygiene challenges, this small matter was no small matter. It was a step toward greater health for him, for his children, and for the next generation.
Okay, next story is from Brenda Lee. Brenda Lee, arise. In Brenda's words, I'll never forget the visit we had with a farmer and his family. With the help of FH, the farmer had devised a method to convert bio-waste, or compost, into biofuel and piped a line into their home. His wife was able to use the biofuel instead of using wood. Less smoke in the home, which lessened the risk for respiratory problems. We then huddled in the small thatched roof hut as he proudly lit the rigged lantern hanging from the ceiling. Light, so beautiful. His children could now do their homework in the evening after doing their chores without the concerns of respiratory problems. It made all the difference to their lives. One of my favorite moments was going to a church where we were met by a huge group of kids singing and leading us down the path towards the church. There was a big sign, "Welcome to Lambrick Park Church." What a welcome and a blessing to be part of the family of God.
A story from Sarah Isbister. Sarah's not with us today, but I think she'll probably watch online when it's available. She shared, I always remember how warmly welcomed we were to each of the communities that we visited. We felt celebrated and embraced and were encouraged that the long trip was worth it to be able to connect with our friends in Sasiga. The villagers we met with were supremely proud of their farms, their latrines, their ovens, their schools, their businesses, their medical and veterinary clinics, clean drinking wells, and on, that they had created and were running with the support of Food for the Hungry and our partnership. The legacy and connections that were established over so many decades and the work that was done to create sustainable living solutions and to expand our understanding of poverty, is profound and will stay with me all my life.
Okay. I get to share one of my stories. I went a couple of times, and it was a very emotional English guy who sat on the crowd when I was here seeing those videos. These are one of these stories. I'll never forget going back in 2014 and seeing everything transformed. It had been 9 years since my last visit, and on one of these occasions, our first trip, one of the really fun parts of the trip was going in these jeeps and going over the bumpy ground, occasionally the wheels falling off and having to repair those, and then fording rivers, deep rivers, where I had no idea we were going to get out of that, but they were very confident in their driving. And so this was like in one of those rivers. There's a picture behind me. We'd just gone, we were just coming back, and we'd come across this river, and we stopped there. And our friends from the project were explaining, it's like, this river is the source of the water for all of the community. This river was where people bathed, where people like did their laundry. It's like it was crucial. And then it's we happened to see the dead animal literally leaking into the river. And this is where our friends were saying, yeah, it's like these are some of the things that we want to see change. This community has the vision to see these things changed. That was 2005. 9 years later, I was going over a bridge, and we were suddenly reminded, and I was caught up short, that this bridge is the same place where that dead cow was 9 years beforehand. And as you look on this picture here, in the background, you see like all the parts of the infrastructure. You see electricity running into parts of the community, the bridge over the water, a road where there was no road beforehand, the veterinary post, which was connected to Jeff and Rosemary. It's like that's nearby too. But yeah, it's such a difference, such a difference. And as Paddy Lee explained, water, clean water, is huge for health. so that's what stopped me short, and I've got lots of other stories. Is Curtis Harder in the room today? Not sure. No, he's not. Okay, we won't say anything. Lastly, this is a word from Curtis, beloved to many at the church. He will be watching later on, I know. This is from him, in his voice. I had a privilege of joining the Lambrick team that visited the Sasiga region in 2014. It's at the same time as that bridge picture. Our family had sponsored a child through FH for years, but I never expected that I would actually ever get to meet the girl whose photograph had been on my fridge. I'll never forget the day that the local FH representatives in Sasiga brought me and the rest of our team down a dirt road with no name to a collection of huts with no house numbers, and finally to the hut that my sponsored child and her family lived in. The connection to my sponsor child and her family was deeply, deeply moving and put actual flesh and bones on the Lambrick FH Ethiopia partnership that up until then had kind of just been an idea. This experience made the fire burn brighter and stronger for me as we returned to Victoria to enter the second 10-year of productive partnership with FH in the Sasiga region. How can you look at this photo and not be moved? To actually be there and to hear the laughter was profound.
Thank you, Simon. And thank you, Simon, for your leadership of our community in this partnership through so many years. Musu, can I invite you to come? Musu Taylor Lewis has been with us a few times over the last few years. She leads FH Canada as the president, CEO, champion, boss, big boss lady. I'm sure she has all sorts of titles. We're so glad to have you share with us for a few minutes. Can you start by just introducing the folks that are with you and then give us a bit of an exhortation and some story? Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful, wonderful to be here again with you as a friend and as a community who has partnered with us in such wonderful ways. I have very little to add about the impact that you've had. I hope you can hear. This is just a sliver. Only God knows the full extent of what you have done through your partnership with the communities in Western Ethiopia. But I'd like to start by introducing the rest of our team. You've met Patty Lee already. She's our Vice President of International Programs. And many of you may have interacted or communicated with the next two people I'm going to introduce. Alex is with us, and he has probably communicated with some of you as one of our donor representatives. And then we also have Kim Drury, who is also one of our donor representatives. And somewhere in there, we have Bernie, who was my predecessor in this role and is now serving again with FH Canada as a board member. And I think that's, did I get everybody? All right, so wonderful. My role today is just to continue to thank you. But I wanted to give a little bit of a different angle on the importance of your partnership with us through the scripture in 1 Corinthians, a rereading of the 1 Corinthians scripture specifically for you today. It's a scripture that talks about how God works with different people, through different people, to make things grow. And this photograph was Patty Lee and I, as we visited Leca de Lucha, the final community that we partnered in. And we planted some trees that will be growing and will continue to grow and continue to keep our presence and your presence in those communities for years to come. I was actually looking for a photograph of trees that I took that some of you may have planted when you were there. But I couldn't find them. So let's get going. And I'm just going to reread the scripture. So please know this is not an official translation. So here we go. In Western Ethiopia, Lambrick Park Community Church planted a seed. FH Canada and FH Ethiopia watered it. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we, Lambrick Park, FH Canada, and FH Ethiopia, are co-workers in God's service. The community is God's field, God's building. The community, as much as we love it, as much as it remains in our heart, has never belonged to us. We have been blessed to be part of their story. And now we can leave, sad, because we're going to miss working with the leaders that we've met, with the friends that we met, but with joy also and with faith, because we know that God will continue his work in his community when we're gone. He was there before we arrived, and he will be there when we leave. To continue on with the rereading of 1 Corinthians, verses 10 to 14, by the grace God has given all of us, both in Sasiga, where we completed the partnerships, and in Leca de Lucha, where we were just starting, we have laid a foundation as wise builders, and FH Ethiopia will continue building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. You heard it, second it. You heard it, second it. Bless you and confirm that you will receive a reward for what has been done. We leave Western Ethiopia with confidence in God, but also in our co-workers at FH Ethiopia. They are gold. We know they will continue to build in Leca de Lucha with gold, silver, and costly stones, as we have always done. They will bring their best, and it will be revealed by fire. We are grateful to have had the opportunity to learn from them and to work with them. And your church support and individual sponsorships has always supported programs that strengthen children's families, schools, and communities with education, clean water, health care, and nutritious food. and you've always been along as journey partners supporting children's well-being. And so now I want to invite you to continue along with us through words that we have recorded for many of our supporters, but I think just really helps you understand where we go from here.
FH Canada was actually started as a response to the genocide that was taking place in Rwanda in 1994. And so we've always been an organization that operates in response to the moments we find ourselves. We have, as of 2025, completed 100 partnerships around the world. It's a moment that we want to celebrate. So we have paused in 2025 to say, what is God calling us to now? I grew up in a family where we moved around a lot during my childhood. I was born in Edmonton, Alberta, and my father had been an international student there, and I did my whole high school education in Sierra Leone. And then I returned to Canada for university, and I've spent my whole adult life here. Moving around the world means I've always been conscious of opportunities that exist for different people, depending on where they were born and live. I often think about my Aunt Amina, my father's younger sister, who never had an opportunity to go to school, and the difference that made for her life and for my father's life. And I know that the changes that we make to increase opportunity for people have impacts for generations. We're entering an exciting new season at FH Canada in 2026. We partner with communities for 10 years, and we've been thinking about how can we be more confident that when we leave, the change has been sustainable. And it became clear as we looked at the 30 years of learning and working with local leaders that we wanted to go even deeper, centering communities in everything we do. One of the things I did last year was to visit work that is being done in other countries other than the communities where we've been working. And I was struck by local leaders who have made a decision at great personal cost to work for transformations in communities that they grew up in. I think about a woman called Monica. Throughout the whole community, it was such a delight to be with her and to see people greet her by name. She's known. She went to the high school in that community. And she left a very well-paid international NGO position to help her own community. And in that community, she's training leaders in agriculture. She's helping them form co-ops to connect to market. She has set up services and educational programs to put an end to gender-based violence, and she's doing it with very little resources. FH Canada is an organization that is constantly thinking and praying about what would be most effective, most efficient, most relevant for the moment that we're in. If we invest in leaders like Monica, who knows the community from childhood, who understands the needs, we would be making stronger our promise that the change we make is sustainable. And so we are going to be moving into partnerships with local organizations who are already embedded in communities and who will be in those communities after we leave. I had an opportunity to travel to Kabarore in Burundi, and I met the little girl, 12-year-old Hajala, who I had been sponsoring. My monthly giving has been used to fund programs that would strengthen Hajala's family and her community. And so I visited a number of those, but the moment for me that sticks out in my mind is visiting a youth cooperative. So as I stepped into this building where these young people were excitedly waiting to tell us their stories and what they had accomplished, I see Hajala's mother there. She was part of the co-op as well. So it made sense to me why I had seen the sewing machine outside their home when I had visited with them earlier. And so as we come to the end of our partnership, that community has been strengthened to ensure that they can continue to support Hajala even as we move on to other communities. I've loved getting the notes from Hajala, but as I left Hajala's home that day, I couldn't help but think about other children in the community. There were always more registered children than children who had been sponsored. As we move to working with local partners, many of those partners will not have the resources to manage a child sponsorship program. And we want to support those organizations that are less resourced and to redirect the cost associated with running a child sponsorship program to do the things that we know make a difference for community transformation. When we listen more closely to local leaders, when we start with their own priorities, we are more successful in making change that lasts. Our move to inviting you to become a journey partner is a response to the moment that we find ourselves in, the opportunity to shift power so that people in community are making decisions about what the priorities are for our programs, who we work with, how we work, and what the results are that make a difference for the communities themselves. By 2030, our goal is to support the flourishing of 600,000 people through community-rooted partnerships. So many of you have told us how much you appreciate our model of multi-year flexible partnerships that prioritize dignity over dependency. And so I invite you to join us and support community transformation as a journey partner. I'm looking forward to continuing with you and doing more than we have ever done before.
Thank you so much for your partnership. And we will be here. We'll stay with you through the lunch, and we'll be happy to answer any specific questions. Thank you, and God bless you.
Simon, are you guys coming back up for a closing song?
Yeah.
Okay, come on up. I'll just, as they come, it seems fitting for us to pray for the FH team. Can I invite you to stand? The FH team, no, not all you. The FH team folks and the board members. And is there another board member here as well? Frank, you were. Have you concluded your term? Yesterday? Well, you can stand as well. You carry them in your heart. Frank Devine as well. I see you. Let's just pray together. God, we thank you for these friends who have served the church in Canada by inviting us into relationships that matter, where we are invited to come close enough over many years where we do grieve the end of a chapter. And we also find ourselves dreaming dreams for families that are not our own. We thank you for the board of FH Canada and their work together with Musu and the whole team across the country. And as they navigate this time of change in the organization and seek to follow you into a new chapter, to let you bring to fruition conversations and dreams and prayers they've had for years toward deeper relationship, more fruitful partnership for people in places that already know the faces, already feel the ache of the land. So we ask for your continued hand upon them as they make critical decisions in faith. Lord, for Musu and the staff team, that they would be great partners, and they would have grace for each other to press forward with hope and re-pioneer what FH Canada will do for the next 30 years, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of this story. And other churches like us around this island and around BC and across our country that are in these relationships, Lord, thank you for inviting us into this. We know, we recognize together, we can't be doing everything. We can't be everywhere for everything. And so as a few people, in our own lives, a few organizations in this city, and a few partners around the world that you said to us as a church, commit there. And so would you guide us, Lord, in your grace to live well in this partnership and honor it.